Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful to be here with your beloved saints. Friends we are of Jesus, friends of each other, and here, Lord, to know more of your word, to understand more, to receive more and have it more in use in our lives through faith, knowing we are at the end time revelation. Bless us together, we pray, Lord, have your way. We pray we may be as admonished as Peter, that if any man speaks, let him be as the oracles of God, or not to speak at all, Lord. May this be your word. We're depending on it, Father, that this is the way it is. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last Sunday, going into the rapture again, we were kind of pressed for time, and I knew it would be a long message, so cut short the thought that the message in the presence of Christ was calling a bride together on the one hand and turning the rest over to judgment. And there were certain scripture that I barely read and barely commented on, showing you that there was a set of scriptures in Matthew relative to the presence in the ministry of the word, the message, separating the people, that is the bride from the non-bride, and then bringing into judgment those who weren't apart. Because remember, Israel gets purged, the earth gets purged, and the church gets purged. Now, we're going to start then in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, for that 16th verse, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, I'm going to be just literally taking from the rapture tape to show you just what we have in mind here. Now, page 27, paragraph 130, three things happened. A shout, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three things, three of them, when he's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride, all right? The message. That's what he said the shout is. The message going forth first, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, he defines it. Page 129, paragraph 141. He ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing come when he starts descending from the heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. All right, page 32, paragraph 152. The first thing is a shout. A messenger getting the people ready. Now, you notice one place he says over here, he says, a message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. And then it's a message to get the people together. And then he says, a messenger getting the people ready. All right, message and messenger. Keep reading. See, the first things come forth is his message calling the bride together. We're right there ready now. The only thing the church coming out has got to lay before the sun to ripen. The great combine will come by after a while. The stalks will be burned, but the grain will be gathered into its garner. You're not blind people. You're sensible people. And if I stood here and said those things for prejudice, I say it because it's life, because I'm responsible to God for saying it, and I must say it. And my message, all the time knowing back there under healing and so forth like that, was to catch the people's attention, knowing the message would come, and here it is. Page 31, 151. When I went forth into the meetings with you, praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I come with the message, if any message goes forth, if it's a true message, if it's a true, genuine miracle of God, and hangs right in that organization, you know it's not of God, because the things that already declared. Now he's telling you that if this message was in a denomination and stayed there, it was false. See, it's got to bring a separation. See, bringing the people out and so on. Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch the eyes of the people. Then his message, that's right. It has to have something that God's going to introduce. Divine healing is, miracles like that just catches the eyes of the people. The main heart of it is the message. There's what? It's what comes from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so they'll sit and listen to him, see? For there's some in there that's ordained to life. And some of the grain, wheat fell on ground, the birds picked it up. Others fell amongst thorns, and some went on prepared ground and brought forth. Page 34, 164, therefore the message calls the bride together, see. Page 26, paragraph 124. Now, we're living in the seventh church age, and when the Bible said that this seventh church age, when the messenger of the seventh church age began to sound his message, that the mysteries of all the things that's been twisted up down through the age would be revealed in that time, and here we see it. And here we see it, the Son of Man coming among his people and doing just exactly, confirming his message as he said he would do. Here we find it in this last age. Now, you can't help but understand there's a presence and a message. And you can't help but understand there's a prophet at the same time. That's Revelation 10, 1, Revelation 10, 7. And the mysteries would be the message. You can't help but understand that if you have an ounce of brains. If you don't, then I'm sorry. This message is not meant for you. And I don't mean to be too unkind, but I do mean to be unkind because we're not fooling. Either this is right or it's entirely wrong. I quote the prophet, and you can't get by it. He says, when the messenger of the seventh church age begins to sound his message, that the mysteries of all the things that have been twisted up down through the age would be revealed in that time, and here we see it, the Son of Man coming among his people and doing just exactly, confirming his message as he said he would do. Confirming whose message? Well, Christ and Brother Branham has one message. Brother Branham cannot confirm his message. God does the confirming. All right? Page 127, back to paragraph 130, again, this time going on. Three things happened. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three when he's descending. A shout. What's a shout? It's a message going forth. First, the bread of life, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until first he revealed it to his servants, the prophets, and just as certain as he promised it, he'll do it. All right, he lets you know then that the prophet becomes privy to what's going to happen before literally it happens. That's like the time that the angels were to come down, seven in a cloud, and he told us before it happened, and he told us many things. All right? Now, we've come through the church ages, but we're promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, that there would be a return again, a prophet in the land. That's right. Notice his nature, what he would be like. God uses that spirit five times, once in Elijah, in Elisha, and John the Baptist, call up the church, and the remnant of the Jews five times. Well, that's only four, so you know what he's talking about now, that spirit. Grace, G-E-S-U-S. F-E-I-G-H, of course, grace of G-R-A-C-E, 5. It's the number of grace. All right? Now, remember, the message is promised. And all these mysteries have been so all bundled up by the church of the Ecclesiastes It'll take a direct prophet from God to reveal. Now, that's exactly what Peter said. So William Branham is shooting his face off. I'm sorry for the people who think he is, because they're going to pay for it. There's no way you can make the Word of God alive. Now, remember, the Word of the Lord comes to the prophet, not the theologian, the prophet. He is a reflector of God's Word. He can't say nothing. He can't say his own thoughts. He can only speak what God reveals. Even the case of the prophet Balaam and so on. Page 29. 141. He ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing when he starts descending from the heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold the bridegroom. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have any oil in their lamps, see? But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time when you come. It's Luke 17. It's Isaiah. All those prophecies perfectly set in order for this day in the Scripture, see, we're living right there. Back to page 26, 124. Now we're living in the seventh church age. Now see, I was back here, lamp trimming time. Behold, the bridegroom. Now we're living in the seventh church age. The Bible said this seventh church age, when the messenger of the seventh church age begins to sound his message, that the mysteries of all things has been twisted up down through the ages, would be revealed at that time. And here we see it, the Son of Man coming among his people and doing just exactly, confirming his message as he said he would do. Here we find it in this last age. Now, we go to page 30 and 142. See these things happen, dear brother, sister. When God in heaven knows I could die on this platform right now, you just ought to walk around a while. It's just tremendous. When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men, stand there, declare himself just as ever he did, and that's the truth, and this Bible opens, see, we're here. Now, he talks about God. He talks about a prophet. He talks about God's message. He talks about a prophet's message, and he tells you that you see God descend from heaven, stand before groups of men and declare himself. That's in a prophet. That is God, as Brother Branham said, impersonating himself in a man. I think we'll touch that before we get out of here tonight. All right? Now back to page 24, reading at 117. Now it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. Now if you take Luke, now you see, it's the end of the church ages, finishing up. Now, if you take Luke, the 17th chapter, 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man begins to reveal himself. What is revealed? Make his revelation of what he is in this day revealed out to the people. The word that's been made known for the day, revealed to the people, by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit making that Jesus live amongst us. Now, he's letting you know that there is a special ministry of the Spirit living among the people at this particular hour. And that is going to be the clue to what lies in the Word for this hour, so you'll be able to get it. Now, and remember, he was represented there in a man. Now, what's he talking about? As it was in the days of Sodom. He was represented there in a man. He said, as it was. Now, he read the same Bible we read, Genesis. Now, we notice in that Genesis chapter, there where Jesus was speaking about it. We find there that in that, with his back turned to that tent, and Sarah in the tent, he said, he asked the question. And she didn't believe that what was going to happen could happen. And he said, now, Abraham, I'm going to visit you according to the time of life. And Sarah in the tent laughed about it. He said, why did Sarah laugh in the tent saying, how can these things be? Now, of course, the time of life would be she'd have to go back to the menstrual cycle. And there just wasn't any hope. Wouldn't do her any good if she did anyway. She knew Brother Brandt said she couldn't have the baby anyway. She didn't understand what was being told her, which was a complete transformation of the body, a change. She laughed and said, how can these things be? Jesus promised. And that was him. Abraham called him Elohim, the Almighty. That was him. Now you'll notice what he says. Jesus does all three in descending, and now he says Elohim. Now you don't get thrown by that. There's just one God. But you understand these names and titles mean something very specific. All right, now the Bible predicts that it will return again in the last day. What will return? Elohim in the form of a man. See, when you see God descend and stand before groups of men and so on. See? Jesus said so. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, just remember, when this starts to taking place like that, then it's, you know, that the time is nigh at the door. The catching away. Literal. All right? How far do I want to go here? That's about as far as we need to go there. All right. Now, from what we read here, you can see that we have gone into the presence and into the message. We have seen how the presence comes to the people and the message. You see the vindication. You see the pertinence. You see the hour in which you live. All these things are there. All right. Now, watch from this point. We are going to see the judge separating by means of the message. Okay? We go back to page 12. And then page 56. And we find out in this day, when this great scoffing and making fun of the Bible and trying to push it out, God's got to judge the church by something. Now, why this day? Because it's the disjudgment. Now, notice he said, in this day of the scoffing has got to be reckoned with. They're not going to get away with it. Now, see, that's what you're looking at. Now, he said, it's got to be judged by something. He can't just. Then he illustrates. They can't go down this street and arrest me and say I'm making 30 miles an hour in a 20-mile zone unless there's something there to tell me I'm only allowed to go 20 miles. It has to be there. And God's going to judge the church. He's going to judge the people someday. We know that. There's a judgment coming. So if he's going to judge it by the Catholic Church, what Catholic Church? He's going to judge it by the Methodist, the Baptist is lost. Judge it by the one that's Tunis is lost. See? What he's going to judge, what's he going to judge it by? He said he would judge it by Christ, and Christ is the Word. So it's the Word of God that God will judge. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. See? So he'll judge it by his Word. Now, we go to page 16. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible that's sealed to unbelievers. And here the Bible says, and there the Bible says in the 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add another word to it, I'll take his part out of the book of life. We realize then it was altogether given for believers. And it opens the book of Revelation and reveals who the author of this entire book is. He's to look upon as Alpha and Omega from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus Christ, same right true. And reveals his complete mystery of himself and his plans for his church ages that's to come and was sealed in there by seven seals. Now, the book was written, but then remember a seal with seven seals. And these seven seals were not to be opened, Revelation 10, till the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth. Revelation 10:7. See, in the days the voice The day is the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God to be finished in that age. And that's the age that we are living in. We all know we're living in the Laodicea age. There will never be another age to it. It can't be. So we're living in the Laodicea age. And these seven seals is held. That book is a mystery to the people. Should be open at that day. That's what he promised. Now, it won't be nothing outside the Word, because you can't add the Word or take from the Word. It's got to remain always the Word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it. And what it is to make it fit with all the rest of Scripture. And then God vindicates that to be the truth. See, God doesn't need any interpreter. He's His own interpreter. He does His own interpretation by bringing to pass the things that He said would happen, like in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. That doesn't need an interpretation. It was vindicated. Now, He promised certain things on the last day in the Scripture. Why, there it was. That's how Jesus was the Son of God. He promised to send Him. That's back in the former days. When He was in the days, His days here on earth, the people couldn't believe Him. He said, search the Scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are there to testify Me. If I don't do the works of My Father, then don't believe Me. But if you can't believe Me, believe the works that I do, because they testify who I am. Now there you see the Word of God being confirmed by signs and wonders and miracles. All right? Well, then, in Wesley's age, the works that he did testified who he was. In Luther's age, or the Reformation, why, sure, testified who Luther was. The days of Pentecost, the restoring back of the gifts, the restoration of speaking in tongues, casting devils, and the gifts, why, testified to who they were. There was no joke about it. People said when it first raised up, I read the books on the history of Pentecost, that it can't last long, it'll burn down. It's still burning. Why? It's because you'll never put it out. God said to be there. It's that portion of the Word, and no more could you put it out. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. We're living in that day. In other words, all the things that are coming to pass, the Word said. Those things are coming to pass, and their manifestation is being told us by the prophet. We're made privy to it, and that becomes the revelation of this hour. We're living in that day, praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of Himself. Now, that's part of that mystery. That's why I always go to Ephesians, the first chapter. The Spirit of wisdom, a revelation of the knowledge of Him. All right, we go right to page 32 now. Paragraph 157, and them seven seals open, those mysteries, and showing those things is what's happened. I didn't know it, but there's a man standing right here now, standing right with me. When you all heard me preach the sermon, sirs, what is the time? And that morning, exactly where it said it would be, there stood seven angels right from the heaven. And as they went up in that whirlwind, took them up there, we standing, watching as they went away. Science took the picture of it all, the way across the nations down to Mexico, and there I was watching. Now listen, one day when I started to preach these seven church ages, I called Jack Moore, a great theologian, and I said, Jack, who is this person that's standing there, the one like the Son of Man standing there, hair as white as wool? I said, he's a young man, how can he have had hair as white as wool? And Brother Branham, he said, Brother Branham, that was his glorified body. That didn't ring the bell. But when I went into the room and started praying, he let me know what it was. See, I've always preached that he was deity, not just a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. God, the attribute of the God of love. The great attributes that come down displayed here on earth. Jesus was God's love which built a body that Jehovah lived in. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What God was, he manifested through that body. That body had to die so he could wash the bride with his blood. Now, you'll notice that Brother Branham stated that what God showed him in prayer was that this was not the glorified Son of Man. This was the judge. Now remember, the same one there, that pillar of fire, is the same one in the ring of clouds, 26 miles high and 30 miles across, where the angels made the wig and the beard, which was the judge. So what we're looking at then is the judge in this hour. All right. We go back to page 30 now. And we're going to read from paragraph 143. Now watch. At this time, when you see God come down from the heaven, stand before groups of men, when you see the vindication of the presence and the message coming forth with the reflector prophet, and understand we're talking about tonight, listen to what he says in this hour. And the denominational system is dead. Who said so? God. What is that? That's a judgment. It's gone. It'll never rise again. It'll be burned. That's what you do with the husk on the field. Flee from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I belong to the Methodist. I belong to the Baptist. I belong to the Pentecostals. You get into Christ. And if you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but what you believe in. I don't care what anybody else says. And then God makes that thing manifested. Now, he says, I don't care any man say it, but what does he say? And God makes it manifested. Only William Branham could say that. 15 million men out there can't say that. 15 million theologians and scholars can't do it. All the body of churches together can't do it.
Amen.
He's not talking about what somebody says about this word here. He's talking about the scripture for this hour that's made manifest. He pours the Spirit upon the word. What happens? Just like putting water on any other seed, it'll live and it'll bring forth of its kind. Now notice what's going on, see? Because these things are going on. All right. Don't the Bible say in the last days there'll come false Christ, not false Jesus, now false Christ, anointed ones. False the anointed to the word. Denomination the anointed, but not to the word. For the word will bear record itself. It don't need nothing else. It'll bear record itself. Now you notice in this little while ago, he said, if you see a ministry that's anointed and a message and stays exactly where it came, it's not true. It's got to go out. It's got to separate. See, and this is what's wrong with all these fellas. There's been no separation. There's been a lot of liars rise up and say, Brother Branham left me his mantle. I've got news for those birds. William Branham didn't have a mantle to leave anybody. Because that wasn't his. You don't give what only God can give. See? God's in the first place. Now, denomination anointed, but not to the word, for the word will bear record of itself. It doesn't need anything else. It'll bear record to itself. And there will come false anointed ones. You got my tape on that. Oh, if you'd call one and say, oh, you are Jesus. Oh, certainly not. They wouldn't stand for that. When it comes to an, oh, glory, I got the anointing. And it's a genuine anointing. Remember, Caiaphas had it to him prophesied. So did Balaam have it and prophesied. But that don't have anything to do with this inside. Unless that was God's seed. He's talking about the soul. His gene from the beginning predestinated, you're finished. I don't care how much you shout. See? Speak in tongues, run, jump. Nothing to do with it. A cockle bird can count just as much as any of the rest of them. I've seen heathen raised, shout, speak in tongues, and drink blood out of a human skull and call them devil's teeth. So you don't want any of them sensations and things, forget it. It's your heart and that word, and that's Christ. Bring it in there, watch it make itself known, just as it opens up like any other seed, and declare itself for the age it's living in. Now that's not you doing it. Don't ever get the idea. You're going to have something like a prophet. That's not what he's saying. It's already been done. It was already there. This is the message he preached just before he died. This is a capstone message. Luther could bring nothing but sprigs. These others could bring other things. Now, see, he's pointing out himself what I just said here. When he puts it on the people, they start running and jumping and say, oh, this great thing's going to happen to me. Oh, I got this great thing. Now, you'd be surprised that people come to me down in Florida as soon as Brother Branham came to me at his own free will. I didn't ask him. He came on his own. Then when I didn't invite him, he made sure he got invited by telling me he's coming. And from then on, you should have seen the rest come. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. They had great ministries. Oh, Brother Vail, yes, you get this big building, and you'll see I've got all nine gifts. I said, look, son, I got a little church. You show what you got in this little church, and we'll get a big building next. Right. Several years later, he apologized. He hadn't fooled me at all. Fat. I could stand before him and do 50 things in one night when he couldn't get his breath on one. I anointed these things, brother. Let's get this list. But I had to have this background to know, to teach other people what the real score is. So I appreciate a background that I just didn't really, shouldn't have. But just you can trickle over into places. You, but it was all right. The Lord's always forgiving, and you can make it work out for His glory. It's all right. But he's talking about himself and his ministry here. The church has seen us last sign. When are they going to get that one down? Nothing but sprigs. Lutherans, genuine Lutherans, had to bring forth genuine Luther. Genuine Pentecost had to bring forth genuine Pentecost. What about genuine Branhamites? You're going to be a genuine word. It's going to bring forth the rapture. It's going to bring forth the resurrection, the whole thing. Not that we're going to do it, but we're going to be hearing it. You know the Catholic Church started out like the Pentecostal? The Pentecostal church would stand 2,000 years and be worse shape than what the Catholic is now. That's exactly right. Now I say that to my brethren and my sisters whom I love, and God knows that. But remember, friends, I've got to meet you yonder at the judgment. And that may not be too long. I've got to be record, bear record of what's the truth. Now, that's the one side. That's the ones that stay with denominations. They're going to burn as the shuck. They don't have what it takes in the first place. Now we're going to take a look at the bride on page 33. And notice 161. Not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she's justified. See, you ever try the word justified to see what it means? Now, Princeton, Brother Green heard that I've been drinking. I've been doing bad things, and he found out he didn't do it. And he come and say, I forgive you, Brother Branham. Forgive me. I never done it. What are you forgiving me about? See, but if I'm guilty, then I can be forgiven. But I'm still not just because I did it. But the word justified is though you never did it at all. Justified. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sins, so from sins, till it's put in the book of God's forgetfulness. He's the only one can do it. We can't. We can forgive but not forget. I could forgive you, but I always remember you done those evil things. Then you're not just, you're forgiven. See, different. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Amen. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God, never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her, and she stands there virtuous. See, there's no sin in her. Now when that one that was the judge, same as that, came down, flanked by seven great angels, one of which per day brought a message, this is what the judge said. Now, look. How's the judge going to say anything but what's in this word? But how's he going to say it at a time when it couldn't be said at any other time in this hour in the way it is said in this hour? Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are thee called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to him as his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And justified, them he also glorified. What do we say to these things? That God before us, who can be against it? He that spared not his own son, here's the blood, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who dares bring me into court? God says I am righteous. Who dares condemn me to death? If Christ died, yea, rather is risen again, even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession. So you see, this is where the bride stands with the verdict cast in her favor that there isn't a case against her. No way, shape, and form. Okay? Back to page 17. And page 17. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? That's the message of this hour and the word of this hour, the decree of this hour. Everything concerning what is in the bride, for her and about her, in the presence, all of these things in this hour. How are you going to put it out? How are you going to stop this thing which is manifested when you couldn't stop Pentecost, you couldn't stop Wesley, you couldn't stop Luther, you couldn't stop any of them. Now, and when the bride is being called out, that's exactly the shout. The Lord Himself descending. Revelation 10:1, Revelation 10:7. How are you going to put it out? It's the revelation. Now watch. It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. In other words, the true Word of God comes into manifestation and is revealed to you what is going on. And people say, well, just a minute. Now, don't just a minute anybody. He said, look, you can discern the face of the skies. Why don't you know what's going on here? There's judgment in the land. The judgments of God are in the earth. The sixth seal opened in March 1964. Let's get that straight. It was the judge that came down in the time of Abraham. And he said that one that he looked at was a judge. And he said the angels formed the wig and the beard. Then who came down? Elohim came down. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall the righteous perish with the wicked? Righteous perish? Certainly. There was Abraham was no sinner. Abraham was under a covenant of grace. You say, well, Abraham did some pretty faulty things. He sure he did, but God didn't say one thing about it. You get the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll see what God says in grace. Trouble is people want to write their own record. Wasn't that a wonderful fellow? Well, your feet stung worse than anybody else's. That's wonderful. Good. In fact, your breath came all the way up from your feet. God have pity.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to get away with it, brother, sister. Neither is it. There's no legalist going to get away with it, and no eternal security with the same spirit to get away with either. There's got to become a time of grace, which is sincerity and reverence toward God knowing. Yeah. Let me read again. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? That is this message, not the bride out. You couldn't put her in, how are you going to put her out? Some crazy church record. Now what is it? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. In other words, the proof that this is the Word of Almighty God, it comes to pass. And the manifestation in that hour is the revelation. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This. Who do you say? The Word made true, a virgin shall have a child. There he is. Now tell me, give me the dope on it. Reveal what it is. Then how can a person be bride and not know what's going on? Well, it will soon be over. It will soon be over. America's got her papal legate. The one that rose up as a lamb with the two horns and spake as a dragon. He's here. You can't have prayer in school. Oh, that would violate it. See, I told you Mr. Reagan had the foolish idea that if Jesus Christ were here with the 12 apostles, they'd be rock, ribbed, stern, solid Republican businessmen, hogwash. You sell your soul for 5 cents, just like the Roman Catholic Church. Peter warned of these days. Now we're living in that day. Praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of Himself. What has this been anyway? That one came down. Why, he said, there's no Pope and Holy One amongst us. Why, he said Elijah himself is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's his own prophet. And if he's his own prophet, he's his own teacher, his own apostle, his own pastor, his own law, his own evangelist. He's everything. They only knew it. All right? Let's keep reading. Now, the rapture is only, this rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friend, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? There is going to be a rapture. The Bible says there will be. And it's only for the elected lady, the bride in this day that's pulled out of the church. The very word church means called out. And as Moses called a nation out of the nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. What was the mighty one to come on down and say, come on to her, my people? God himself. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination making of a bride, bride tree. Send the tapes, the bride tree. The bride coming out called. And that's the one that is the bride. She is the one that's going to be in the rapture, that alone. Nothing but the bride. The elected one, foreknown by God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual gene. And then, of course, he goes in to the Father's spiritual gene. All right, now, to taper off, we're going to use the scripture that Brother Branham used. And we go back, first of all, to Malachi chapter 4. And you're certainly very familiar with this, so there's really not even necessity of saying that we're going to anyway to make the sermon round it out. Chapter 4, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All right? He won't need to have that one revealed here. There won't be anybody who doesn't get the revelation that one. The bride will be gone. Now we know the hour we're living in. And the proud, they that couldn't humble themselves, too full of organization, they thought they were somebody. All that do wickedly, that's these nice people that talk about the blood, that don't know the blood doesn't avail unless you're walking in the light. The preaching of the cross brings blindness. They worship. They think they're in fellowship. Oh, they get their prayers answered. So what? Balaam could too. Answered prayer doesn't mean too much. Bible said he's good to the wicked. In fact, that's just a foregone conclusion. There shall be a stubble all the day wickedly. For the day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leave them neither root nor branch, nothing to come back to. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth, ye shall go forth, and grow up as calves to stall. And you'll tread down the wicked. There'll be ashes on the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth the curse. All right, there you see it. That tells you distinctly what's going to happen. In this end time, there's going to be God himself and a prophet. And God will separate. He will take out the righteous into immortality. The rest he will burn. Now we want to take Matthew 25 and compare it to Luke 17, which we barely did last Sunday. Matthew 24. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, but in that day and that hour knoweth no man, nor not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now notice he said, look, he said, there's nobody going to set a date on this. But what we're going to do, we're going to set a time on it. See? Now, the setting of the season obviates the necessity of the setting of a date. Because the date will be within the season. Now, that's all you need to know. All right. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding in the mill, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord did come. But know this, the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then, now listen, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made rule over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him rule over all his goods. But if the evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Now that's not proof of that word. That's coming is two different things there now. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, appoint his portion hypocrites, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the great tribulation. Now it tells you right there that there is a separation. And that separation at this time is the judge which is choosing between by gathering his own into the garner, and the others are being left there. And you will notice the attitude of the people at this time. Brother Branham used the scripture in Peter there concerning the rapture. He said there'll be scoffers at the time of the presence and the message. So they're not aware of anything. All the signs are in, the miracles, every single thing to attest that this is the hour, but they're blinded to it. They don't want a thing to do with it. Now, therefore, because of the rejection, they will go into the great tribulation, and they'll be carrying on in a manner of unbelief. But the bride will not be condemned because she's in a different position. Now, let's go to the book of Luke. And we'll see in Luke 17 the same thing, and yet with a different impact. Verse 20, he was the man of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither say, lo here, lo there. For behold, already the kingdom of God is here, it's in the midst of you, and you missed it. Then the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days the Son of Man shall not see it. And they'll say, see here, see there, do not go out and follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth on a one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now he's describing the day of the Son of Man, of that revelation, that appearing. And it's going to be in the form of light. And of course, light is the Word of God manifested, revealed. But first you'll suffer many things that took place. He was rejected this generation. What about the generation when he comes as light? It'll be as in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. There's your presence again, the revelation. They ate, they drank, they married wives, given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all but what was in the ark. Likewise also, in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they built, they sold, and planted. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, same day the rapture takes place. Fire and brimstone from heaven destroying them all. That's over a period of 3.5 years. Thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that's in the field, let him not return, let him likewise not return back. In other words, don't be the least concerned about physical things in this hour. Why? Because it's Laodicea, it makes a trap deal. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, he that shall lose his life shall preserve it. In other words, cast it upon God. Leave your church membership. Don't worry about your church pension, all those preachers out there. I tell you, in that night there should be two in one bed, one taken, one left. Two grinding together, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. And they answered and said, where, Lord? And he said, in the rapture. All right? You can see the judge. You can see what's going on. There is a separation. That separation is Matthew chapter 3 and about verse 12. Now, John says, I indeed baptize with water, verse 11, but he that cometh after me is mighty than I, shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his corn, gather his wheat in the garner, and he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now that's the end time. The fan is in his hand, the winnowing fan. It's separation time. Malachi 4 time. Matthew 24, Matthew 25 time. Luke 17 time. So you can see here what is going on. It is all being fulfilled. There is a separating time. And what is doing the separating? It is the presence of God in the form of the Holy Spirit represented in a man through the Word is separating irrevocably the chaff from the wheat. And it's absolutely manifested that this is that hour. And remember, there'll be those going on. It doesn't mean anything much to them. Even though they said, I believe the message, and looked around and saw the prophet, they say, well, it's the Father's fallacy. William Branham's gone. What's going on? Nothing's going on. They don't want anything to go on. Why do they want him to come back and take over when Christ is here? I don't understand what they've got up their sleeve, and I'm not about to be interested.
Amen.
Now, if God, Brother Branham comes back, whatever he does, that's his business and God's business. But there's one thing about it. William Branham will be raised by God, the same as Jesus was. Because for all intents and purposes, William Branham was God to the people, but he was not the only begotten Son of God. They asked the question, William Branham, are you the Son of Man? He said, I am the Son of a man. But I'm not the Son of Man. So I thought the pillar of fire is the Son of Man. He said, the pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. The prophet is not the Son of Man. He said, in the form of the Spirit. It's God moving and doing the things spoken of by the mouth of a prophet and seeing and doing the things that the prophet said would be, because they weren't the prophet's words, they were the words of Almighty God. So a separating time. Separated unto God and separated with God, one with God. Now that's where the bride stands. She's separated unto God, unto him. She's separated with him. She is one with him. As it says in John 17, the day we're going to be one is he and the Father are one. Or we are in Satan's kingdom, proving our citizenship with him by denying the word. That's it for tonight. Close your tape on. We're very grateful to have been allowed to be in your presence again, for grace and mercy, the love of Almighty God to be with us this night. We're very glad, Lord, to see these things brought to us as perhaps never before, nailing it down, as we see so clearly what we've been preaching all along. And it's just beautiful how that there is no doubt at all. There cannot be any doubt. There's just no way. It's here right before us. And we're thankful that we have seen these. Like you said in your word, it's true. Blessed are our eyes that we see them. Many, many men all through the ages. In fact, those prophets that we know looked into, according to Peter, Lord, who foretold the death, and looked and wondered about the time when this very thing was going to happen, that even the death and the resurrection look forward to. And here we are. Father, I can just say one thing. And I, Lord, I know I can say it for every single person here outside of the prophet. I don't suppose all of us put together have even a 2% understanding of the depth of the richness of the revelation and the thing that's going on at this point. But we are glad, Lord, at least we have got this far. We are glad we have got this far, that we do know. And we're only praying, Lord, that you will impress us somehow, no matter what it takes. And I know you've got just exactly what it takes, Lord, by reason of grace and mercy, that we'll be able to know the depth as we've never known it before, if we have to know it. I don't understand, Lord. Maybe we don't. I cannot say. But I know myself, Lord, and I believe I speak for many people, that we would like to just flow within the richness of this tremendous, rich outpouring of the Spirit, of the revelation of this hour, until the complete saturation of it makes us nothing else matters, and this is it, because this is life. And that's where the prophet stood. And I don't know that we'll ever get anywhere near there, Lord, but we can ask you, is it all right if we would ask you, hopefully, that we can have a greater depth and this become richer and we become more and more immersed and it more and more immersed with us until we are just literally, as we ought to be, a part of that flowing rapture, which is real gear right now, gaining momentum until soon the dead will come out of the graves. What a great time that's going to be to rejoice together, absolutely physically changed, to just be with each other here, this reality. Oh, how tremendous it's going to be. And it's right on the door threshold right now. We believe that with all our hearts. Solemnize your people tonight, O God, and may we never, never cease to praise thee and to flow into the richness and the depth of it, moment by moment. That's what we're looking for until it's life itself. That's all. Just life itself. Life itself. And we'll prayerfully give you the praise, because we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Before we go home, anybody got one prayer tonight?